Phoebe Bridgers in 2 days?
Fimbo
Bribbers. No, Summer Breeze?
I'm so
Summer
excited.
Summer Breeze, the three week event, I guess.
3 week series. First narrative arc.
this arc. Can you even call it an arc? We got Phoebe, Flo Milli, Catra.
It's like a beautiful roller coaster of vibes.
But here's the thing. We were right, guys. We were right from last week.
Holy shit.
We talked about
if
this.
You guys were here last week.
Someone definitely was here. We were talking about how Catronata has to be the third artist because of the emojis that they used on the promotional thing. We were right.
That was a big brain moment.
I'm biased, but I'm the most excited for that one.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a
I'm very biased, but I also think Catra's music is most adaptable to most adapted to a digital format, because I think his vibe is the best for putting up on the TV in your living room and just making it into a dance party.
Okay. I don't know if you saw,
because I'm gonna be on the Zoom call with Phoebe just crying. That's what it's gonna be. We're all just gonna be really going through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. This is slightly off topic, but slightly on topic. Did you see that poll
about I'm not on poll party?
Ugh. Fuck. Okay. Well, I'm just gonna say it. There's this poll party that goes, inspired by me not knowing a single Summer Breeze artist outside of Carly Rae Jepsen my first year during my 4 years at this university, and wondering if it's just me being out of touch, how many of the three Summer Breeze artists this year do you know?
All three.
Of course. All three, too.
People picked one and two or zero?
The biggest little section is 2 out of 3.
Are you kidding me?
The second biggest section is 1 out of 3. And the third biggest section is 3 out of 3.
How?
And then there's 36 votes for 0 out of 3.
No. Okay, so
isn't
here's
that
the thing.
Fucked?
Here's the thing. I'm imagining the average UChicago music listener. I think they definitely know of Phoebe Bridgers. I feel like Phoebe Bridgers. Flo Milli.
Honestly, though, when I saw this poll, I got upset. I honestly got kind of mad. Because to me, it just felt very, honestly, yeah, we go to a primarily white institution. It felt kind of I don't know, a little anti-black. And I was it's interesting to me that none of, because these are huge artists. You know what I mean? These are huge artists.
How do you not know Beef Flo Mix?
How do you not know?
Literally, that's the default, even if you don't listen to Flo Milli's music, if you go on Twitter ever, you hear that song, because that's what they use to, that's the background of all those videos and fan cams and stuff that people comment.
I was looking at this and I was getting upset.
I feel like Catronata has the least mainstream popularity.
I don't even think that's true.
Flo Milli has had Song of the Summer level bops. Phoebe Bridgers has had the indie cult following for a while now.
It's true.
I don't know.
But Keitra is like, I feel like
he's huge for me though. So
okay, it's not okay. Okay, I think that like people who like music, and I think a lot. So Pool Party is obviously a very small sample size, but I do, and it's obviously biased because there's only like really ridiculous people on Pool Party.
Yeah, I was about to say. I think Pool Party is like an interesting snapshot of the U Chicago population.
Yeah, because so I think Keitra is huge. I just think that I was looking at all of these like white, like little nerds who like really just live by Pool Party, and then I don't know. I just like made me feel like kind of upset. I don't know. I don't know if this has any weight to it, but I was just like really annoyed by this like, I don't know.
Lack of awareness.
I don't know any of these people. You know, like
it's like that's not a flex.
I'm not. It's not a flex.
It's like it's not a flex to not know.
Bad vibes.
I also. So the person who made that poll, did they just say they never knew any of the
except for Carly Rae Jepsen, which I mean, if you don't know, yeah.
Okay.
But like, I don't know.
That's confusing.
That's like sus. That's like so sus.
I wonder what their Spotify Wrapped looks like. That person like who posted the poll.
I'm scared.
We should invite them on the pod.
Talk
to them about music. Like, okay, so name a song from 2021.
We'd
ask the person who created the poll.
I could name a song from 2021. I don't know if I could name any song that came out this year. Because I don't think when I think about music, I could not tell you.
You don't think of it in terms of
no,
year.
No, not even a
you don't
little.
Think of it in terms
Although
of,
yeah. I can think of like I think I can think of albums of like oh, I like listened to this a lot in this season. I like this time of my life, but that doesn't necessarily correspond to when these albums came out.
Interesting. You know? I think of things. I think I kind of compartmentalize things into year like. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because when I look at the album on my phone, that's like the first thing next to the title. Mm. Like, I don't know what it is on Spotify, but at least on like Apple Music, it just shows like the album in the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my favorite album this year, to answer a question that wasn't asked, is is Bright Green Field by Squid. Which is a really cool, like...
I like that name.
Post-punk album.
I like post-punk.
British band. They had a debut EP in 2019 that was Flames. And apparently they released a bunch of singles between now and then, but I didn't even know that. So I was just like, man, I wonder when Squid's going to make more music. Had no me, clueless. Drop a full-length album like a week ago. It's great. Also, the album art is really cool.
Is it a squid?
It's a bright green field. How do I get it? Like you could see it right here.
Oh, that's
I'm making.
Cool.
I'm too bad. Too bad for everyone who is just listening.
Everyone should Google it.
That's just homework assignment number one of the episode is to is to look up Squid and also listen to their music.
Okay, I can do that.
I think it's just like very. For me, like, it's very a very refreshing change of pace from what I normally listen to, because I don't see myself as like a.
Can you play a clip of it? I want to hear it.
Okay, I'll play. What's a good one? Do I play from the new?
Yeah, play from the album that you were just talking about.
Oh my god, all the songs are like 7 minutes long.
Just pick one. I don't want to listen to the full thing. Just like scroll to a good bit.
Okay. Alright, everyone gets to join us on this little interlude where you listen to some Squid. Let me find it and here we go. A little taste test.
Would you say? What were you gonna say about it before I cut you off?
I really like the sound. I like the energy. I like the garage band vibe. And the thing is, I feel like my daily listening, like. My daily music diet, if you want to call it that,
yeah,
is very, very laid back, very relaxed. And the Squid is like a little bit, it kind of just brings a little bit of energy, brings a little bit of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I'm listening to a lot of like super chill stuff, like, you know, Men I Trust.
Yeah.
Triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
That's like real, like good vibes, good music, but definitely on the lower level energy wise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I enjoy, I'm definitely a fan. I like the sound. It's like the kind of unrefined, kind of energetic, very youthful, big. Does not try to give the appearance of some sort of refined, painstakingly crafted thing. It's just, like, good music. And that's what I've been listening to a lot lately.
Mm.
My favorite album of the year so far. I do like the KKB EP, but the thing is... That's not a full length. It's only 3 songs, so it's, like, I can't call that my favorite when it's only, like...
Actually, here's an album that came out this year that I was super excited about. Fearless Taylor's Version.
Of course. How could we forget?
I don't know. When she dropped that, I went crazy. This morning.
How could we forget?
I had, I don't know, can I say this on here? Whatever. We only have 3 listeners. This morning, I was like, I got really stoned, and then I like kind of spiraled because I realized, and I didn't realize why I was spiraling until I realized that I just had that album on
just
playing.
You, it was just in the background, just ambient.
In the, like pulling me down, you know, like humanizing me. Like, no, Taylor, gotta switch this.
that's tough. I mean, there's so much additional like emotion behind all of those songs because you know that you're listening to it with the weight of all the backstory.
Yeah, about, and also, like her backstory and my backstory, you know? Because I've grown up with Taylor Swift, you know? I listened to her a lot in high school. I listened to her a lot now. Listened to her a lot when I was, like, 7. I don't know. When Taylor Swift come out? Whenever that first album
like,
came out.
I feel like that first... I feel like she had her big break, like, 2000... Like, right on the cusp of 2010.
Maybe earlier.
I want to say 2010 or something was around when Taylor got the award and like Kanye ran up and took the mic from
but
her.
But I liked her before that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that was I think 2010 or 2009 or something like that.
I think one of my first like memories of like yelling a song really loud in the car was like yelling to like Picture to Burn while my dad was driving me to school.
Wow. So you've been on, yeah, you were very early.
Yeah, I loved Taylor Swift. Ugh, cannot.
I think it was a really smart move by her to do like a re-release.
I mean, she had to, you know, that whole drama with her manager Scooter. What type of name is Scooter?
This is a Scooter Braun hate account.
This is. We do not stand here.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think this like, I mean, Taylor's situation is like less. The stakes aren't. I want to say the stakes aren't as high because she was a...
She's a name.
A name. She was a multimillionaire prior to all of this. But, like, record label fiascos are, like, a very real thing that are such a huge threat to, like, a lot of musicians. And it's really upsetting because you see artists lose a lot of creative freedom. You see there's, like, they capitalize on someone's eagerness to, like, make it and, like, get signed and get, you know, an album out on a label, that the fine print is often, like, very against your favor as an individual artist. You're so, you've been, like, kind of, you know, a one thing, because with the advance that they try to, you know, they give you, you've been grinding for so long as, like, you know, a musician, as a producer, whatever, struggling to, like, make money off of it, and you finally see that that's finally within your reach, and it's like, how could you say no? They're giving you, you know, an advance, and you're going to get an album out. But then all of a sudden, the financial side turns around and backfires on you, because then all of a sudden, for, like, the rest of the, like, all of a sudden, the label is taking, like, huge chunks of revenue from your albums because they gave you that advance. And all of a sudden, like, you know, your music is still gaining traction and still, you're still getting listeners, but you're not seeing any of that money because you signed it away to get the advance and to get signed.
Not even just that, but, like, these days, streaming is everything, and people do not get paid enough per stream. Like, it's something crazy, like 0.003 cents per stream. And someone, like, tweeted something crazy. It was like, oh, I got, like, over a million, like, listens or something, and I only got, like, $300 or something. Yeah, like, not enough. It's not enough. Like, you cannot sustain yourself right now on just streams unless you're, like, huge, and, like, most music artists aren't huge in that way.
The overwhelming majority of artists don't.
100%. Like, and it's, like, where is that money going if not to the artist? You labels. Know? It's just going to labels. The label and the managers or whatever. And it's, like, that is not the way that this should be, obviously, you know? And I'm glad that Taylor did that and did her
That's
thing.
That's huge. But, you know, one stat that I like to throw out all the time, because I'm the weird guy who buys a lot of albums on Bandcamp, and I recommend it to everybody, because buying a song on Bandcamp, buying your favorite album on Bandcamp, you know, literally drop a couple bucks, that is the same thing, because the amount of money that Bandcamp takes and is less, and the amount of money they give to artists is significantly more, and you're paying for the album outright instead of through streams. Buying an album or a song or anything on Bandcamp is roughly equivalent to listening to the song, like, every day for 5 years. And I don't think people do that when they're on Spotify. I don't think there's any song that I've streamed, you know, 1,000 times, like, over the course of a year or something like that, because music taste, like, comes and goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Spotify takes advantage of that. They're throwing the algorithms at you. They're getting you to listen to different stuff. Like, they're stretching everything out so thin. You're not getting any money to the artists you like.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah.
I, like, this is maybe me being a grouch. The next thing. This is my grouchy moment, but it's like, what, this is maybe like cynical, but, like, if Apple Music and Spotify were to disappear overnight, how much music would anyone own, like, for having bought? Like everyone I know uses Spotify. Everyone, yeah. It's like, if Spotify and Apple Music vanished overnight, how much music would you have to your name? And I encourage everyone to ask that question of themselves, and if it's not a lot, that means you're not getting a lot of money to these artists.
Yeah, you're not, like, supporting the artists that you listen to.
So it's cynical, and I know it's not feasible for everybody to be giving lots of money to artists, but that's something to think about.
Yeah, but that's also not even the whole picture, right? There's touring, there's merch, there's engaging on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, no, there's a producer that I really enjoy watching on. There are two producers that I watch on Twitch a lot.
Kenny Beats.
Kenny Beats is one of them. Kenny Beats. I don't know if Kenny Beats needs some money. He gets some pretty crazy placements, but Kenny Beats, his Discord is like 100,000 people strong, and there are people who started making music because they saw Kenny Beats on Twitch, and now they are signed, and now they are out in the industry because of the community that he built. I think that's really incredible. But another person I watch on Twitch is Knowledge. It's Knowledge. It's spelled like the word knowledge, but with an X instead of an O.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He has produced, what's a popular thing? I think he has a few production credits on To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick. But Knowledge streams on Twitch and almost exclusively drops music on Bandcamp. And he talks about this when he streams all the time. He's like, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, whatever, it does not pay the bills.
Yeah.
And so, he doesn't, if you look Knowledge up on Bandcamp or on Spotify, you don't get a lot of results. You don't really see much of a discography. You look up Knowledge on Bandcamp, you see prolific releases because he is cooking like full time every day, and he makes these little themed albums, these little themed like mixes, these little flips and stuff like that. And it's so many things, that so much music is out there that is just not on streaming because it's not worth it. It's not worth the money, or you're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
Just shameless, I'll just drop the link in here because it's how did we even get into this anti-music industry rant? Oh, you're talking about your Taylor.
Oh, I was talking about Taylor Swift. Taylor, yeah. Moment.
But I think that here's the pandemic really. I don't think the pandemic forced labels to really tighten their belts, because they have the defense mechanisms of securing the overwhelming majority of stream revenue.
Yeah.
You know, they took the hit when they gave all these artists advances, but now they're fine. And meanwhile, artists who relied on touring and merch are taking a huge hit right now.
So are venues.
Venues are as well. This sucks.
Yeah, it's really scary to see so many, like, historical venues literally just close.
I can't make any sort of, like, economic opinion, but it just feels like the past year we've seen like small scale, local, grassroots, whatever, things just get like wringed out and like slowly eaten away at by like big entities.
That
like,
is the economic like, is model this, at play. That's the market, right?
Like is because this what's happening? Because I feel like, cause
yeah, that's what exactly what's happening.
How did, because these like the Forbes like most wealthy list like is just skyrocketing. You have like
it's not
all
even
this crazy stuff happening with crypto, and it's like meanwhile small businesses are taking the hit, venues are taking the hit, like independent artists taking the hit. It's like this is not the trajectory like anyone wants to see. Like it's not encouraging at all. It's really kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually pre-ordered tickets to a venue in the winter.
Cool. Because a lot of dates are being released right now.
I don't. I'm still kind of nervous. Debbie's Breakfast.
Mm.
Featuring who's opening? I think Luna Lee is opening.
That's a good lineup.
I understand that the situation might not be, it might be a little precarious, like, in the winter, who knows, but if it's not safe, I won't end up going. But I don't have a problem. They weren't even expensive tickets, like. So it's like if concert venues are safe by then I'm gonna go and have a good time, and if not, then it's fine. I took the gamble.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think everyone's kind of itching to get back to live music.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been to a concert in so long.
It's been a minute. What was
my last concert?
Yeah, what was your last
glad
concert?
Glad that you asked. Actually, so this was kind of an...
Do you have anyone else in the chat, too? A last concert or, like, a last, like, pre-Panera thing?
Okay. Yes, drop that in the chat. Okay, so the last thing I went to was literally... a day before everything got shut.
Wow.
Literally the night before.
And you had... That's the thing. We had no idea, too, so...
Yes. Yes. And it was, like, crazy. So my friend, who is a music journalist, came to Chicago to cover this one band called Iron Tom. And it was a crazy experience. I'm going to talk about this. I'm actually going to tell you this story.
Yes.
So... Britt and I went to this show, they want to be classic rock adjacent, but they're so alt, and they have a bit of, like some punk notes. They're, like, kind of heavier sounding, and...
I'm actually going to pause you real quick. It's 6:30.
Woo, 6:30.
You're listening to Midwave.
Yeah, so Iron Tom, anyways.
Okay. No, I know, we miss it every time, so I feel like I had to...
We
had
don't
to be...
miss it every time. We don't miss it every time. We're pretty good about it,
I
think.
Okay. We're definitely off by, like, minutes, though.
Okay.
This one, it's literally 6:30 on the dot, so I'm proud of myself for that one. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Iron Tom.
Anyways, we went to this show, and... it was kind of strange, to be honest, because it was at, like, I think the Empty Bottle or something, so it's a really tiny venue, and we just, like, I don't know, it was fun. She was taking pictures, and I was, like, trying not to get moshed, and we, like, ended up meeting them afterwards, because she knows them, and it was really strange, honestly, because it was, like, it felt very groupy. Like, I've never been in a scenario where I feel like a groupie, and I felt like a groupie, even though I didn't know this band at all before we went there. It was just Britt and I, and then, like, these three girls who were really mean to us, honestly, when we went, and they were like, we're going on the tour bus. And we were like,
the tour bus.
And then they were asking Britt, she was like, where do you go to school? Like, where do you go to school? We go to Columbia. And then Britt was like, I go to Yale. And we were like, oh, we met the Columbia here. And then Britt was like, oh. It was just really, it was weird. They were being kind of like, I don't know, fake nice to us. It was not fun. But we ended up going on the tour bus with them, and then going back to their, like, little Airbnb for a little bit of a get-together, and it was really strange, and I was really vibing with their tour manager, who was really nice, kept giving me, like, food, because I was hungry, and, like, he gave me the last, like, White Claw, and it was very nice of him, but but it was really weird. I think the lead singer was trying to come on to both of us at the same time. It was very creepy, but anyways, so I... wanted to play some Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? I really wanted to hear a song that I could dance to, and, like, I don't know. So I played some Red Hot Chili Peppers, and one of them, like, made a really weird face to the guitarist, who was really, honestly, quite good. I remember when I saw him in concert, I was like, you're too good to be playing in this band. And I thought that was strange. But after we left, Britt and I was like, why were they being weird when I wanted to play the Red Hot Chili Peppers? and she told me that the guy who was a guitarist is literally the son of, like, one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I was like,
Small world.
And then I was like, now I feel even more like a groovy.
So you, in an attempt to not be one of the groupies, you accidentally, in a very indirect way, became one.
Yeah, I felt so silly. I was like, this is so fucked up.
You had no idea.
How could you have known?
That's fine.
Ugh. Yeah, I felt really weird about that. Anyways, that was the last concert I went to.
That is an interesting concert in your story, though. Last concert.
Yeah.
Ending on a strong note.
Yeah.
I guess.
It was very messy, but it was fun. Yeah. Okay, year ago, what was your last show?
My last show, I think it would have just had to... This... I would say that, like, going to Hallowed Grounds, like, open mics wouldn't really count as a last venue, but I did go to a lot of those in the winter. My last big concert was 100 Gecs.
Is that true?
Yeah.
When did you see 100 Gecs?
It was in the winter. Or late fall. I don't remember, but it was cold out, and it was definitely that time of year.
Where did they play?
The big one. Aragorn. Uh-huh. Aragorn.
What was that show like?
It was insane. Because the thing is, this is crazy, and anyone who's listened to 100 Gecs might be like, how do they perform live? And I'm honestly not too sure either, but it was incredible. Because they had this, like, synth guitar type thing that was, like, it wasn't actually an electric guitar, but it was, like, a controller, right? So it was, like, in the same way that a keyboard controls a synth.
Yeah.
They had, like, this guitar controller thing, like, controlling some synths. And one of them, I don't remember if it was Dylan or Laura, but was just, like, shredding on it for, like, so many of the songs. And it was, like, there were so many layers to the sound that you didn't get from just listening to, like, the song. And also, like, the live vocals is so much more electrifying, so much more energy, so much more, like, emotion. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I have videos from when I was there, and you could hear in the video. It's basically it was really dark except for, like, some small spotlights, like, and they were, like, colored too, like, small, you know, purple spotlights on Dylan and Laura. And so I was taking a video hoping you'd see something. You could barely see anything. So it's basically just all black, and just you could hear, like, the rumble of the music. Because it was so, like, based out from, like, the sound system.
Mm.
And you could hear me get absolutely decked by someone in, like, the mosh pit or whatever. You could hear me get just totally bodied. And
what's the sound? What's the sound like?
It's just like you hear, like, the rumbling, like, cause like sort of like when you've got a phone video and it's windy, you hear the whoosh.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like that, but then you just hear
like a thud,
the initial thud, and then, like, my phone scattering across the concert floor, and then, like, me on the ground. And then thankfully, I picked up my phone, like, right away, because it was within reach. And there were a bunch of people helping me up. But I literally got decked. And it was not my intention. But I was, like, in the middle sort of front, and I was very close to people who were going bonkers.
Yeah.
So I got caught in some crossfire, it seems. But I'm not even mad. That was crazy. It's like I now have an incredibly memorable story and also a really funny video.
I think the next question that I think is begging to be asked is, what's your best concert? Or what are some of your favorite concerts you've been to?
I think that one's my favorite.
Is that true?
I think that one's my favorite.
Whoa.
I
That's like a big, that's a big one.
It was just because of the energy too. I think I went to another concert in Aragon that I forget who it was because I didn't know them.
Oh, dang.
Because I went with a friend. And it was crazy. It was like definitely like in the, it was definitely in the like punk metal area. Very, and a little bit experimental. And it was crazy because I was just vibing and enjoying the concert, not knowing any of the songs, having no idea anything about the band. It was just like, it's the same way that you feel that like excitement or like wow factor of like when you're listening to a new album or like you're listening to a song that your friend plays you that you haven't heard before and you like it. It was like, it's that sense of like discovery.
Except like a beautiful surprise.
Yeah, and it's like and then everyone around you is like going crazy and enjoying it too. Like, that was such a unique experience. I feel like people don't do that. People don't go to concerts for like bands they've never heard of.
Yeah.
So it's like that experience I had was crazy, because literally I was just being a plus one.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, and I managed to have like this really unique experience because it's like I almost want to try that again. Like literally, just like the equivalent to like throwing a dart at a map or something like that, and just go to some crazy like super small like indie band sort of thing, no idea what the genre is, and just like soak it all up. Like, I feel like, I don't know, do you think that seems like that
would be fun? Like, I feel like I've always wanted to do that, but then it's I've never done it, but I think that would be cool, you know? It's the same experience when you, like, walk into a bar and then there's someone playing and you're like, whoa, these guys are good.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, I think everyone's experienced that when you walk into a restaurant or some sort of thing and there's, like, live music. That's the same thing. It's like, wow, this is new. That's refreshing. That's exciting. So it's like that, except that's the main purpose of your little trip. It's like, I am going to this concert. I know what the band name is called because I bought tickets, but that's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, that would be, what is that even the equivalent to? It's like going to a restaurant and saying surprise me to the waiter. Like going to a restaurant with no Yelp stalking and like having the waiter like just be like, surprise me.
Yeah.
Like have the chef like prepare whatever they want to.
Yeah.
That's like, I think that's like a fancy restaurant thing. Like, you're not gonna like that's like, that's definitely like a more expensive restaurant thing where you can be like, have the chef decide something for me.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, I don't think you're gonna get that if you go to like
Applebee's. It's like the sushi thing, like the omakase.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to Applebee's and being like, surprise me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someone should try that. Like, what would, like, what would happen if you go to, like, Applebee's and just say, like, surprise me?
They'd be like, get out.
They'd be like,
they're like, this dude's terrorizing
us. Wait, didn't they, aren't they, like, getting rid of, like, their, like, waiters and stuff, though? Because don't you have, like, don't they have the kiosks where you just punch in what you want?
I don't know.
Have you, am I crazy? I just, for some reason, I thought that was a thing.
I have not been to an Applebee's in so long.
You just get a blooming onion.
I do like
them. I feel like those kind of go, those kind of slap, but not as an entree. Like, you can't just go like, I'm gonna have a bloomin' onion for dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people could pull it off, but I don't think I could. I have a big appetite, but I think I'd need some sort of balance.
Mm-hmm. How did we get here?
How did we get to Applebee's menu analysis? We were talking about how surprising it is to go to music, going to a concert just raw. Like,
I feel like all of my favorite concerts have been people that I know.
Yeah, what are some more of your favorite?
My favorite? Iron Drum's not a favorite. That was bad.
Oh.
But I think my, okay, I think for the same reason that you really loved 100 Gex was the same reason I really loved my Grimes concert.
Nice. That was crazy. Nice. That's a good
because
one.
Because I went to this festival with my best friend, and we would always get really good acts, but, like, literally in buttfuck Maryland. But it was crazy, because, like, right after Grimes was the 1975. And so
we went to Grimes.
And this was before anyone was, like, this was, like, right as Art Angels dropped. So, like, not many people were, like, crazy into her.
Yeah, yeah,
but I was. I knew all of the words. I was, like, off the tequila mini bottles that we snuck in. And I, like, danced so hard that people got out of my way and we ended up getting to barricade just because I went so hard for Grimes. I don't know. When she played Venus Flytrap, I lost it. I lost it.
That's amazing.
What else? So that was a really good show. I went to go see the show also as a plus one. And then it was like really one of my favorite concert experiences. I didn't know the band that much, but I'd like done a pre-listen. They're called The Regrets. They're this them pop punk type thing. I don't know. They're so good. And she did this thing in the pit where she was like, we want to make a mosh pit that's like only for girls, like all dudes go stand in the back. Yeah. And I went with a date. I had to go stand in the back because I'm like, I'm gonna go over there now. Can you go stand over there while I do this?
I think
that was really fun. But I think the most like my like most transcendental concert experience was when this was at a festival. I saw so many good acts that day, but I went from literally being destroyed, like, barricade, like, killed, trampled in Tyler, the Creator's pit to Solange and then literally being so sad and then laying with my drunk friend on a hill to our third act, Frank Ocean. And
oh, my God.
I literally died. I think that day was just, like, a giant roller coaster of, like, emotions.
Was this...
What are you about to say?
What festival was that?
This was Panorama.
Panorama? Mm-hmm. What year? 2017?
Like 2017, yeah.
I'm trying to think because Frank doesn't do live.
No, he does
that's
not.
That's like a once in a blue moon, real like rare.
It was crazy. Rare stuff. It was that concert where he was wearing that shirt that was like, why be racist?
That's an iconic performance.
Yeah.
That it's like, why be racist, transphobic, sexist, whatever, when you could just be quiet.
Yeah.
It's like, true.
It's like
literally shut up.
Just be quiet. But that was the like I think those were my three like big concert experiences that like really like got to me. I've like cried in concerts before.
That is such a wild lineup, though.
Right? Also, and it wasn't even the full day.
It was summer 2017, right?
Yeah.
So at that point Tyler had dropped Flower Boy, so I'm sure everyone was.
It was like a few months, I'd say.
So everything on the album was so hot that summer.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a great time. Man. It was also before I got like super into Solange, and then so I guess I kind of had that feeling too of just being like, "Whoa, this is so good."
This is new.
Yeah.
Because.
And now I cry to Solange all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
That, I feel like that was like the watershed moment then.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That is a awesome.
Those are my venue.
Holy crap!
What are you looking at?
I was just scrolling through my like iTunes library aimlessly.
Mm.
No. In high school, we obviously very close to New York City, as in like a drive. Also, a lot of kids at high school were from the city and so lived there. We got out like way earlier than most schools. We were out in late May, early June, which means everyone was able to go to Gov Ball.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I did not end up going for any number of reasons, but there, I distinctly remember hearing a lot secondhand from my friends about Gov Ball, like, especially 2018, because that was when we graduated, so I think a lot of my friends ended up going.
Yeah.
And I also think that year was, like, a pretty strong lineup in terms of, like, the artists I really liked.
Yeah.
So that was, like, really in my wheelhouse. And so, like, watching a lot of the videos they took and, like, seeing pictures and stuff, like, that was a pretty cool experience. But I'm not sure, like, nowadays, I'm not sure if I'm too thrilled with, like, the crazy festival.
Oh, see, experience. I think I'm in a different boat right now, because I think now the thing that I really want to do is one of those, like, festivals that are multi-day where you can camp. Like, one of, like, what's the one in the desert where they go crazy?
Is it Burning Man?
Yeah!
Oh my god!
I want to go to Burning Man so bad and hike and then just be, like, I don't know, tripped out on something. I feel like I'm more swaying to that energy than, like...
Going to Burning Man is just generally not, like... It's not good for your health. I'm sure it's a great experience, but you definitely, like... In some
you die.
Way,
you like literally.
You definitely it takes a toll on your body, like you're
and knocks 5 years off of your life.
Literally,
I want to go. I feel like that's something that I'm intrigued by, like the idea of like losing yourself in a concert, but like for days is like crazy to me, and I'm so intrigued by it. I want it so bad.
I'm looking up a band because I want to know what they're technically called, the genre. Because, yes, I want to go hardcore punk. I want to go to, like, a basement hardcore punk venue and just, like, go crazy with a bunch of, like, random strangers.
Yes.
And just, like mosh.
And mosh.
like, I want that, like, small, rambunctious venue type thing where it's like you're right up there, like you could reach out and grab like the people on the stage because it's like in a basement.
I think that would be fun too. I want to go to a rave.
I've never been to a rave.
it's like post-pandemic, Ari wants to go to raves.
I think
I'm gonna become a rave girl. What then everyone?
There was a rave that happened in like Texas like very recently. I saw people like post about it on Instagram, and I was like, "Really? Like,
you guys are going to raves?"
I was like, "Is it now the time to go to a rave? Like, there will be more raves. Like, this is not like you know the last one on Earth. Like, you could go and it's like safe to do that."
I want to go to a club. Now I'm just thinking about going out and dancing because I miss that so much. Like in terms of like parties or concerts, because it's like there are very few spaces where you can get so belligerent
and so loud
in a place that is also so loud with other people that are belligerent and doing the same thing that you are doing. You know what I mean?
I want to go to a club just to like dance to like techno or something like that.
Yeah.
Like I just want to witness like a live kind of like DJ mix and just like dance. Like a boiler room situation.
Yeah.
You know those like because I've never been to one of those like sort of venues, but like you know, I watch like YouTube videos of like boiler room performances by like you know Cave Schnada or like James Blake or a ton of artists have done boiler rooms, but it's like just an hour long, just like really cool like mix with a lot of different like kind of emotional arcs, and you're just kind of like dancing for an hour or something like that, and it's like,
yeah,
that'd be sick.
I would love
like I think of going to a club for like a DJ mix. I think of that in my head separately from going to like a live concert.
Yeah,
but it's you know live music, so it's under the same umbrella. What were you saying?
I was thinking about like my dream. Like, DJ that I would want to see. It would be, for me, Yeji. Because I got into Yeji through her DJ work, not through her, like...
How do you spell that?
Y-A-E-J-I. Have you heard Yeji? Can we send our... We can send them out with some Yeji.
Send them out with Yeji?
I love her.
Okay, I feel like one of these...
She's this,
hold
like...
Hold on. There's a music video. There's a music video that the thumbnail looks, like, mad familiar. I like YouTube.
Okay.
Oh, wait. This is going to play out loud. No, I'm going to pause it. Why does this look familiar? Okay. But, so you want to see Yeji live.
I was saying that she's this, like... So, I heard of her through someone, like, reviewing... Someone in New York reviewing this, like, Korean, like, DJ who's, like... Was, like, kind of, like, low-key blowing up a little bit. And I started, like, listening to her, like, music that she releases that isn't her DJing. And it's so good. But then I think... Okay, if she sounds like this, you know, like, what is going on in these DJ sets that is, like, the thing that got her noticed? It wasn't her music, it was the DJing. And I think that's so cool, and I would love to see her DJ. I feel like that's my, like, dream show, you know?
Like, musicians or artists who are, like, producers and DJs are such an insane... That's such an insanely strong skill set to have, because DJing has so many technical aspects to it that don't come through in the process of making music in a vacuum or in like a studio. Like, that is a totally different skill set, and I think that's really cool that Yeji was making music but also DJing, and then her DJing skills were what put her on the map.
Yeah. Oh, she's so cool. Okay, I can't wait to play her.
What song do you wanna
feel it out? I feel like that one is my like go to bop.
Found it. What's like so what's like the vibe? Like, what is, give us the like, I can't listen to Yeji right now, but I want the idea.
Yeji is... She's fun. I think, honestly, maybe she tinges on hyperpop. Before, hyperpop was a genre in the way that it is now. She has this sort of, like, fast, rhythmic-ness.
Really?
But she also sometimes has a really dark, like... persona in some of her songs. I don't know. It's really cool.
Interesting. Well, that is 3 minutes long, and we have 4 minutes. So, in order to give the song its full justice, we should wrap it up.
Okay.
I totally forgot to talk about what I wanted to talk about, but one thing that was on my mind, we were going to talk about, like, the affirmations.
Oh, yeah. We should just do that next week.
We'll do an affirmations episode next week. We'll affirm
That'll be a big one. We'll make that a big week.
We are big, lovely, sun-soaked afternoon walk. That'll be something to think about next week, maybe. Yeah. We could do another drip episode, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Anyway, we'll let's listen to some AG. Thank you for putting all of us onto it. And thanks everyone who listened. And
see y'all next week.
See you next week. Whoops. See, that was actually me just playing more of the squid. That I accidentally
no more of the squid.
So no more of that. Okay, for real. Now here's the Yeji. For real this time. For real this time. Sorry. We'll be right back.
goofy, shit is crazy, shit is yagey. My job, gotta feel it up. Other people, they're laughing, chum chum.